150 years ago, on July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1863, a major Civil War battle took place in a small town in Pennsylvania called Gettysburg. We have a series of three reports on the major battle this week, and today we focus on the first day of fighting. Dr. Glenn LaFantasy of the WKU Institute for Civil War Studies explains how this small Pennsylvania town became the site of such a major battle.
Well, it was pure accident, and that's something that historians like to talk about because of the nature of war and its unpredictability. Here was a classic case of two armies running into one another and certainly not expecting to do that or for it to happen at this little crossroads town of Gettysburg in south-central Pennsylvania.
WKU military historian Dr. Jack Thacker explains what Confederate General Robert E. Lee hoped to gain by moving his troops into Pennsylvania.
He was hoping to take the war to the north. And remember, always remember, Lee didn't have to win to win the war. All he had to do was not lose. And he was smart enough to realize if he stayed and waited for the Union to attack, he was giving them all the advantage. By taking the war to them, he was hoping to make war less palatable to them and make them more willing to maybe work out a deal down the road. That was basically what the South wanted all along. And so what Lee did is he separated his army and marched north, which is a very dangerous thing to do, but considering that he was up against Hooker, who had been psychologically neutered, I guess you could call it, by Lee. He had been known as Fighting Joe Hooker. But in fact, at the beginning of the campaign, as Lee began to move, Hooker wanted to go let Lee go, and he wanted to go attack Richmond and let Lee alone. And so what happens is, as he's going, he loses contact with the Union Army. Stuart, who is out riding all the way around the Union Army, raiding and capturing supplies, that sort of thing, has left Lee without his information he could give him. Lee had some cavalry, but he didn't have Stuart, who had this amazing ability to read all the reports and come up with a coherent picture of what the enemy looked like. For instance, Lee doesn't even realize that Hooker is gone, that he's been replaced by Meade. And so now Lee is sort of moving north. And what he wants to do is he wants to pick a place and force the Yankees to attack him. As a matter of fact, he was looking for a Gettysburg in reverse. Mm-hmm. To defeat the Yankees on their own home turf, thus demoralize them even further and move it maybe towards some sort of peace conference.
And Dr. LaFantasy says both Union and Confederate armies had significant numbers of troops in Pennsylvania.
Yes, a considerable number. For the Union Army of the Potomac, it's approximately 120,000 men. Lee suffers the disadvantage because he only has about 75,000, 80,000 men with him. Although that's a pretty high number for a Confederate force in the spring of 1863, given all that the Army of Northern Virginia had gone through and the losses that it had suffered in previous battles in the Eastern Theater.
Dr. Thacker says although there were large numbers of troops from both armies, those armies were somewhat spread out as they approached Gettysburg.
So you don't have that many men on the field together. Lee's army when he found out that the Army of the Potomac was shadowing, he sent orders to begin to close up. But at that point, Longstreet was almost 2 days' march from him, coming up the rear. And so what happened is A.P. Hill, his corps was in the front, and Heath's division of Hill's corps runs into a cavalry division under a man by the name of John Buford. Buford had already been in Gettysburg, and he set up on a series of hills called Seminary Ridge. Heath began to move his division in, fighting began, and Lee did not intend for this to happen. He was very upset about it when we first heard that they were engaged. He did not want a general engagement. But Buford does a beautiful job with his cavalry division of deploying it. And so as Heath moves up and other divisions begin to move up on the other side, Buford's able to bring up probably the best corps in the Union Army, the 1st Corps under Reynolds. And they began to form up on Buford. And as a result, you end up with a general engagement.
Dr. Glenn LaFantasy.
So it's an unfolding drama that first day of a very effective defensive line by first Buford and then Reynolds of the Union 1st Corps. Then the Union 11th Corps moves in as well to the north of Gettysburg, but Confederates are sweeping in from that direction as well. Ultimately, a rout takes place when the Union defenses are totally overwhelmed, and they fall back into the town of Gettysburg. There's fighting within the town, finally pushing the Union forces back to what is the ultimate high ground in Gettysburg. And by 1 a.m. on July 2nd, Meade arrives to assume overall command. At that point, he discovers that a general by the name of Winfield Scott Hancock had already directed defensive lines to be set up. They were arranged in what has famously now become known as the fishhook line, a line shaped like a fishhook. On the barbed end of the fishhook were two hills, Culp's Hill and Cemetery Hill. On the shank end of the line was Cemetery Ridge, and at the end of that, two more hills, Little Round Top and Big Round Top. So this was among the most perfect defensive ground throughout the entire Civil War that was ever found. Meade kept that formation, and that's what everybody would be facing on the morning of July 2nd.
The Battle of Gettysburg became associated with terms like the Devil's Den, Pickett's Charge, and Little Round Top. Dr. Glenn LaFantasy explains why this battle in particular seemed to have such an impact on the lore associated with the Civil War.
It was fought on Northern soil, and there just aren't that many battles in the Civil War that were. Gettysburg is also the biggest battle fought during the war, biggest in terms of numbers of engaged, biggest in terms of casualties suffered on both sides. And while there were other three-day-long battles, nevertheless, you have 3 days of continuous pitched fighting from July 1st to the late afternoon of and evening of July 3rd. And Gettysburg has taken on a symbolic aspect as well, helped along by Lincoln on November 19th, 1863, dedicating a soldier's cemetery at Gettysburg and delivering at that time his famous Gettysburg Address.
This has been the latest in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. This is Dan Modlin.